This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That is correct. It is John Lopez, Figgy Figs, back at the studio. I am next to John Lopez, Reginald Atatula. And this is In Loop. Hope you are having a wonderful Wednesday. Maybe it doesn't feel as good after what was a Tuesday that could have made you feel really good in the AL wild card contention. Unfortunately, your Astros fall. But get involved with the program, first and foremost. We got the YouTube and the Twitch. Those are always going for you. But the text line is the number one get. On the conversation, 713-572-4610. We were at NRG Stadium. Don't worry about that. That's not a big deal. No, it's cool.
We might reference it here and there.
Yeah, but just letting you know why it sounds a little bit different, why we are, the background on the YouTube and Twitch looks a little different. We're at NRG Stadium sitting where Mark and Andre sit for the broadcast. There you go.
I just slammed the table in honor of Andre.
He said he would do it. I didn't realize it would happen that quickly. But, yeah, he's already doing it.
Is every week, though?
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Fig, and I appreciate you doing that for me.
But whenever Reggie has a good take, I'm going to go, oh!
We don't have to do that too much then, do we? But yeah, Fig, can we start with this play-by-play audio here? Unfortunately, the Astros, they turned it on a little too late and unfortunately weren't able to get it done falling 3-1.
And the 2-2 hit sharply right at Torkelson, and the Tigers hold on and win this one 3-1 as the Astros lead. And the Tigers lead this best of 3-1-0.
Lopez, how'd you feel when that ball came off of Jason Hayward's bat in that moment?
Actually, as he's batting, I'm thinking, I'll be damned, they're going to do it again, aren't they? I mean, I was confident. I was confident that they were going to get it done. But, of course, the old game of inches thing got you. But I was the game itself, like literally, like 3 inches, 2 inches in one direction or the other, and it would have been at least tied.
Base hitting, yeah. I think you're going into extras at least.
Yeah, at least tied. But this was a game that until that moment, I never really felt that good about. Mm-hmm. And we started watching it in the studio because it started at 1:35, not 1:32.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
And it'll do the same today. And we'll get to today. But as far as yesterday, I never felt really good, foremost because of Subek. I mean, that guy was just...
Scooble. Tarek Scooble.
Subek.
Yeah, it's just... You throw a few sounds out there, eventually it gets
mostly
there.
Because of Scooble. But the thing is, he was even better than I thought he would be. It was pretty incredible. That's not breaking news. But then once they got him out of there, I started maybe gradually thinking maybe this, maybe that. But you know what I thought the story of the game was? And they talked about it. They referenced it a little bit on the broadcast. But it wasn't like... A.J. Hinch didn't manage circles around Joe Espada. You know, don't go there. Like Espada had his moments and all that. But, you know, the old baseball axiom of little things, I thought he did a lot of little things well, man. I thought A.J. Hinch, put on a show managing his bullpen, taking advantage of matchups, that type thing, being somewhat ballsy at the end. By pulling Tyler Holton, who will be the starter opener today, just like little bitty things that maybe separated, the difference between winning that game and losing it.
Yeah, and look, when you start talking about managers, Joe Espada is going to be very front and center in this mm-hmm. one. But I think this was tough, man, because it started with, and I think the ultimate decider in this was the thing that we talked about with B. Scott yesterday, the idea of which Framber Valdez are you going to get? And unfortunately, when it came down to it, you got the one that was just a little bit off, right? Mm-hmm. That did not have the best command and unfortunately kept some of his pitches up. And the Tigers, who have been hot, even though I may have, and maybe I jinxed him. Right? Maybe I need to apologize and find some level of undoing of the things that I've done or the things that I've said. But the Tigers were able to really take advantage of that in, what was that, the second? The top of second, mm-hmm. where they were just, sending them right back towards Framber right through the middle of the infield. And they got, a lot of runs, especially with two outs in that moment, and that was really the big difference, because that was not a team that had very much had very much on these Astros in the remainder of the game. I know that they threatened a couple of times, but that was the moment where they were able to make hay in this, and that's really frustrating, because you knew that they had a great guy on the mound, and early on, putting yourself behind the eight ball was a frustrating thing, and ultimately is the decider.
That was, and I think Figgy was a spot of three was the cut. And when he said this, I'm like, that's not altogether true, because, you know, he said basically, and you'll hear it here in a second, but he said, you know, I thought he had good stuff, however he put it. And I'm like, no, he put the ball over the plate. He was not quite himself. Let's listen to this.
You know what? I thought his stuff overall was good. Just this, you know, his sinker was staying kind of up in the zone a bit, and they got some pretty good swings on those pitches. You know, he battled through five. He gave us a shot there. But I just thought that usually when you see that sinker getting away from righties, and you start seeing ground balls and the swing and miss on curveballs, that's a sign of where Framber stands that day. But I give it to him. He battled. He gave us five innings. He gave us a chance to win.
He did battle, but when your sinker's up, that's not good stuff.
Yeah,
that's not hitting your spots, and he knows that. I think he was trying to protect
this guy,
Framber, a little bit. But you know, his stuff was good. No, it wasn't. It was inconsistent in the early going, when clearly the pressure was higher. When clearly Framber has had a mixed bag of being able to handle those moments. And oh, by the way, is that the fourth consecutive start in the postseason that he's lost? So it's not bashing on Framber. Again, those little things were kind of all going in Detroit's way.
Well, let's get into those little things, because the tough part about this was Joe Espada is a first-time manager in the postseason, and he already had criticisms levied against him in his early tenure as the manager of this ball club. And with that being the case, that made it ripe. Rife, I don't know, what's the right word to use there?
Both, you can use both.
Okay, well, that didn't help. that puts the situation in a place where you are open to that level of analysis, and let's go ahead and do that.
Yeah.
The thing that, within that cut that you just played, right, you were focused on the stuff portion of it. The thing that was interesting to me that made me kind of think of the fact that he is, a newer manager to this particular situation, mm-hmm. is the idea that he was talking about this almost like it was a regular season match, right? A matchup where he's like, he gave us five. Well, when it comes to the postseason, giving you five is great, right? Obviously, if you can get it. But ultimately, the bigger thing is, like, are you going to keep those runs off the board? And battling is fine. But, you know, if you need to go to the pen at a certain point, you need to go to the pen. And I know there's a lot of people, although Framber just seemed like he was going to be the selection there. Like, I think that was the thing. But if you were going to, uncork Ronel Blanco, you know what I mean? Like, when do you go to him?
Well, and that's a great point. And I hadn't even thought of that, but that... It's making my mind race right now.
Ronel Blanco, mind you, that was fantastic.
Yeah, it was good.
In the month of September.
But you talk about, the whole conversation about Framber being an ace. When you trot your ace out there in the postseason, you don't say, hey, Dallas Keuchel, hey, Garrett Cole, hey, Zach Greinke, hey, Justin Verlander, just give me five. No, you don't. You don't tell your ace, just give me five. You tell your ace, this is the ball, go get him. And let's ride him as long as we can. Boy, that's a really good point that I hadn't thought of. Like, to get just five out of the presumed ace, the game one starter, that ain't enough.
And here's the tough part about it, because I am talking about Ronel Blanco, and I don't think you have that guy just ready to go at all. Because, I mean, this happens early on in the game, mm-hmm. when you're having some struggles there. But that's not the only thing, right? And I think the biggest thing that we start talking about is how he manages as we continue, right? First of all, we could talk about the decision to put Hader in there in a 3-0 game. Because that makes you does make you wonder, like, where is he in some of these respects, right? Because he's, in this instance, it sounds like almost he's treating this like a regular season game. But when he talks about Hader and his decision to use him, he seems to have more of a, this is a kind of a must-win situation, and we put Hader in. But the problem that you now have is, with the just high unlikelihood that you're going into the bottom of the ninth, down three runs, and it's not likely that you're going to get this win.
Yeah.
You're going to, a Hader is the type of reliever that you can run out tomorrow or today, right? The next day.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do get a win then, and you need to run him out again, is that too much? And I think that the value of isn't this the value of having two closer caliber guys that you can maybe use Presley in that situation, who's a closer caliber guy in a situation that feels a little bit further fetched, and still maybe hold this to a point where you can give yourself a chance to compete.
And you've had a lot of confidence in Abreu
in the same vein.
That's the one I was looking at. I was thinking, man, this guy, they generally just trot him out there and he does exactly what he should do in that exact situation. You know, let's just give us a chance. Maybe we'll get something going in the ninth, you know, and throw Abreu out there. Instead, he went with Hader. So that's the most obvious one, you know, Hader, in terms of, like, you know, questionable, if you want to call it that, spot of decisions. But I like to, again, back to the little things, I like to balance it out with what A.J. Hinch did. Scooble was rolling, man. And then he pulled him. You know, he pulled him because he had that knack, he had that feel for what needed to do with what he needed to do with the matchups. And then Will Vest comes in, and Will Vest, you know, how many managers would have stretched him a little more? Nope, didn't do that either. Went to another guy because of the matchup. So it's just the little stuff. If you want to extend it a little more, I didn't have a huge problem with this. But Jeremy Peña...
small ball.
Yeah,
small ball in the ninth.
Jeremy Peña has only ground into a double play 31 times in his career. In his entire career, he's only ground into a double play 31 times. And he's got him bunting there. I wasn't crazy mad about it, but I wouldn't have done it. I would have let Jeremy Peña, you know, go ahead and swing the bat there. He's fast. He doesn't hit into double plays ever, hardly, in his career. So, yeah, again, that little thing right there. And then the last thing.
In fact, before you move on, do you want to hear Espada's thoughts? This is a cut six here, Fig. Espada was asked about, you know, what the calculus was, the decision to have Peña bun in the bottom of the ninth.
Yes, you know, just trying to give our guys two shots to give us the lead. They are with Caratini, McCormick, and potentially Hayward. And, you know, Caratini's gotten some big hits for us from the left side and also from the right side, but especially from the left side. You know, hit that ball pretty hard there to left. And then after that, McCormick reaches first, and then we are one swing away. I just want to give our team an opportunity there, second and third. We want out an opportunity to just get multiple runs there, try to keep us in the game.
That's it. I mean, you know, that was, to me, a little questionable. I don't know how you felt about it.
I get it, right? I had a pretty rousing debate with a friend of mine via text during the course of this game about that one and, I mean, various other things that were happening. And in that instance, it's like you're conceding an out, and that feels like, you know, kind of an analytically driven perspective. But when it comes to analytics, that works more over the course of a long season where, over time, more often than not, you get the desired result. I think that this is one of those instances where you look at a spot at playing the moment, and I was cool, especially when you consider the way that Peña had been at the plate. I don't think that you felt great about when he was swinging the bat, the idea of possibly him, you know, hitting and, you know, conceding that out swinging the bat as well. But then also, I think that we cannot forget the amount of pressure that is put by having runners in scoring position.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that was necessary. And you mentioned A.J. Hinch and his decisions. I did find it interesting that the closer there, or the, you know, the man that he gave the ninth to was
Jason Foley?
Foley ultimately.
And then they
brought him. And I was like, these guys, like, Foley is, he's liable to be worked upon. And so the idea that, hey, now you give him an opportunity to give you a shot at this because you put people in you pressure him like putting a guy runner in scoring position. I was cool with that. I'm generally a little bit nostalgic towards small ball anyways, but I also think that it made sense in the circumstance. So I'm actually with the spot.
Well, like I said, I wasn't like, oh my gosh, throwing my hands up, but I wouldn't have done that because he's not going to, very much more than likely, not going to hit into a double play, and he has power. Jeremy Peña has some power that could maybe really, you know, just end things with one swing of the bat or drive into the gap or whatever it may be. But again, I wasn't outraged about it. It just when you add them all up, you know, all the even when you mentioned Hinch going to Foley and Tyler Holton threw two pitches. And that gives him the chance to start today. So he had that in his mind already going in. He also said the reason that he didn't open the next inning with Yordan coming up to the plate is because he wanted Foley to start with a clean inning. In other words, bases empty. It didn't work out, you know, exactly. Well, it did with a win, but not exactly in terms of the matchups. But A.J. Hinch was just a tick, just a tick ahead of Espada on a lot of these things.
Yeah, and that's upsetting because it was just a tick by which, as you mentioned.
And they lost by just a tick.
Just some inches when it came to, at least when you look at the Jason Hayward swing in the bottom of the ninth. He hit it pretty hard. I was going to say he scalded, but I don't think that you could consider that necessarily as well. Yeah, it was decent exit velocity straight at the first baseman. It's gloved, and unfortunately, the Astros weren't able to get a win, and now they are in a must-win situation.
Hey, you said it.
Yeah, I did.
Go ahead, Figgy, say it. I know you want to.
It's a must-win game.
Yeah.
Damn right it is.
Yeah.
Damn right it is.
We sound excited about it, but no, this is a tough place to be for these Astros, right? And thankfully, you get Hunter Brown up there. How confident do you feel in that? We'll have more opportunities to talk about that, but he's been great this year. Now also he's getting into this playoff context, right? You need him to step up in a big way, and maybe more importantly, you need your bats to get up early. Like, you need to put him in a situation where he has a little bit of support as well with runs on the board.
Boy, you cannot give up runs early. I mean, of all you know, players, pitchers, Hunter Brown has been nails. But boy, then you know, you give up some runs early today. It's going to tighten everything up. It's going to tighten your body up, so to speak. And you know what I'm talking about?
The lemon booty.
Yeah. And it's going to be a tough ask for these guys. But you got the right guy on the mound. You know, Texter made a statement. One of the texters from the 713. I wish people would stop. Kind of force feeding that Fromber is an ace. I think it stopped. You know, I think it's been a question for 2 years. We're off of that. Then he pitched really well. Then he gets game one. He battled as Espada said, but he wasn't an ace.
No. And that's, unfortunately, you need an ace in that situation going up against Tarik Skubal, and you fall 3-1. Back in action, 132, or maybe 35, we'll see, today at Minute Maid Park. In fact, in just a little bit, maybe about 20 minutes, let's talk to our guy, Adam Spillane. He was out there, get some of his perspectives, and begin getting ready for game two. But coming up next in the loop, let's get our question of the day. We're a quarter way through the season, thereabouts, in the NFL. What is your grade? Letter grade for these Texans. Texting in 713-572-4610. We'll do that next on Sports Radio 610.